Living Hope Assembly of God.
We get an opportunity to have our kiddos in service with us this morning, and I'm excited about it. We get an opportunity to get them to sit and listen to the adults preach the gospel. Amen, because ultimately, this is where they're going to be, hopefully one day, sitting in a service. Amen? Amen. So we're training them up now to learn how to sit quietly and to listen to the pastor or whoever is speaking. We started a series several weeks ago now. We had a missionary in between. And the title of the message that we started, the sermon series, the conversation that we started was, There is a Way. There is a Way. I remember when God first gave me that, and I really didn't know what to do with it, so I started talking with my little preaching team that we have here at the church, and I was wondering, what in the world can I do with that idea? There is a way. Sometimes God, a lot of times how God deals with me, I'll finish one idea, one thought that he had given me previously, and then he'll give me an inkling of an idea, a phrase, a saying, a Bible scripture, and then I begin to research and it unfolds what God is trying to do. So we started this idea, this conversation called There is a Way. And in this idea, There is a Way, came several weeks of material that we're working through now. And the first sermon that we preached was a couple weeks ago now. There is a way, the way of self. We dealt with the way of self, and we realized that going through the way of self leads us to nowhere. When we, you know, the idea, the thought, follow your heart is garbage. Because if you follow your heart, the Bible says following your heart, the heart is deceitfully wicked. Amen. There's nothing good about following my heart. If I follow my heart, I will always do what Charles wants to do. You know, the truth of the matter is following God, most of the time, if we really think about it, 9 times out of 10, there's always seems to be a pushback from our natural self. Because in reality, we really don't want to do the things of God. And that's why the Spirit of God came into our hearts and took residence. He doesn't need anybody else to live with him. He wants to reside there himself, and he wants to transform us by the power of him himself and make us into the image of God so that we could be more like God and understand the heart of God and know what God's plan and God's desire is for our life. And so now this week, we're going to grapple with another idea, the way of others, the way of others. If you're taking notes, write that down, the way of others. Part one, the way of self. The way of self has destroyed many people throughout history. I hate the idea of the saying. I've used it, a couple ideas, pulling yourself up by your own bootstraps. Listen, if anybody's going to pull me up, it's going to be God. Amen. Or I'm a self-made man. You made yourself, we got a whole lot of problems. The Bible says that, in fact, that we were made in the image of God for his purpose and to be used by him to bring glory to him. You were made to bring glory to God. And how in the world can we bring glory to God except we give God praise, and how we live our life on a daily basis and how we serve him and build his kingdom? That is how we bring glory to God. Do you understand what I'm saying today? Listen, when we are totally surrendered to God, there is no room for self. There is really no room at all for anything but for his presence, because God, well, he's a jealous God. His name is jealous. Amen. Listen, God doesn't want just part of your attention. God wants all of your attention. Are you following me today? I was reminded as I was sitting there, and I liken it to the body of Christ and how we're supposed to be there for each other. I remember, and I liken it to my best friend, when we were younger, we were teenagers, and he's a couple years older than myself. We would run around, and him and I would get in tussles. We would roll around and call ourselves fighting each other, and we were party animals together. We did a whole lot of things that we shouldn't do. Now he's a pastor in St. Louis, and I'm a pastor here in Blair, Nebraska. But anyways, long story short, I remember one time there was this gigantic dude who wanted to pick a fight with me. I wasn't afraid of anybody. I would fight a bear if I had a chance. But my friend looked at him, looked at me. Him and I were about the same size. him being a couple years older than myself, and he's stronger than an ox. And so he looked at me, looked at that guy, and he ran up there in that guy's face and jumped in his face and said, if you're going to fight anybody, you're going to fight me. And what that told me and what God was dealing with me about is that the body of Christ, as the body of Christ, man, you know, God does that for us. Are you following me? And if we're really led by the Spirit, man, we should be doing that for each other. Are you following me today? And when we do that, really, in reality, there is no room for self, because self would come to the conclusion that this might put me out. I might get beat up really bad here. We're willing to take a risk, and many people in first century church was willing to take a risk for God, ultimately, right? But Paul preached the gospel so that a few might be saved. So Paul, in reality, was crucifying himself daily. Amen? And so in order to crucify yourself, what happens when you crucify yourself? Christ starts to live through you and in you, and Christ can get the glory through your life. But if there's a resistance, the resistance is your self-nature, because your self-nature will always want to play it safe, and your self-nature will always be concerned about self, and your self-nature will always try to forfeit the things of God out of your life, because the self-nature desires to be comfortable. The self-nature is not the kind of nature that wants to wake up in the middle of the night and pray for your enemy. Are you following me today? The self-nature will always be concerned about itself. And today we want to talk about the way of others. The Bible says in 1 Corinthians, if you're there, chapter 15, verses 33, it says, do not be deceived. In one translation, it says, do not be misled, because the reality is this: when we follow the way of others, we stand to be misled. That's why you can't hardly let too many people whisper in your ear nowadays, because there's a truth and there's an assumed truth. And we're going to go somewhere with that this morning. Bad company, Paul says, corrupt good morals or good character. I don't know how many youth services that I've preached this verse and use this verse, but I'm sure that it was many. After years of preaching, I have seen many young people walk away from God, and not just young people, many people walk away from God because they chose to follow the way of others. When we look at this passage of scripture, we got to ask ourselves, who in the world deceived the Corinthians into believing such a lie? In his first letter, Paul, to the Corinthians, the apostle, he wrote of the false teachers who had come into the church at Corinth, teaching that the resurrection of Jesus Christ wasn't true. These people considered only their physical existence and denied life after death of the resurrection. As a result, their moral outlook on life influenced the rest of the Corinthian believers. Listen, Dr. Ravi Zacharias himself, I said it yesterday in men's ministry, he made a statement in one of the Christian rap songs that I listened to. He said, listen, I don't know if I would be in ministry today if it wasn't the realization of heaven, if there wasn't the realization of hell and pain. He said it's really, in paraphrasing what he said, in essence, it is the idea of hell is what propels him and gets him to keep doing what he knows to do in order for him to get to heaven. Are you following me today? I'm going somewhere with this very idea. And the same is true. We see in our text, the opposite of that is true as well. You're going to follow something. Are you following me? You're not by yourself in this. Even if you think that you can do this on your own, your influence is going to come from somewhere or somebody. There is no in-between. You're either going to follow God or you're going to follow the enemy. Are you following me this morning? So which one are we going to choose to follow? I choose to follow the voice of God. The world is filled with many different ways to go, guys. Choose one. There are many voices that has gone out, but there's only one voice that we should listen to, and that is the voice of the Holy Spirit. Paul is telling us that in associating with false teachers, we would be adversely influenced by them. The truth is that false teachings does not lead us to holiness. Are you following me, guys? Listen, I want you to hear me this morning. I know we got a lot to walk through, and we're going to get there, and I want you guys to follow my train of thought. Because of this, it is crucial that we are careful whom we form relationships with. I've said it before, guys. We are in a day and time now where, man, it's crucial that we are careful who we form relationships with, and some of those relationships may even be at the church you go to at times, or in the fellowships that you fellowship in, or the television shows that you're watching, or the preachers that you're watching on television, or the people that you do life with on a daily basis. You have to have sense enough to know and be spiritual enough to know, and a sensitivity to God, to the voice of God, to know when to reject something somebody is saying or to receive something that somebody is saying. You have to be careful, because the days and times are utterly evil. And men are not getting more dumber. Humanity is seeming to get more smarter. They are intelligent. And we have to be careful, because many people speak well, but they're not speaking on behalf of God. And that's why the Apostle Paul said, listen, I'm just going to cut the chase. I'm not going to come with you with persuasive speech and eloquent words. I'm just going to come to you with a demonstration of the Spirit and with the power thereof. You have to be careful who you form relationships with, especially those outside of the church, because unbelievers can cause even the strongest Christian to waver in their faith and adversely affect their walk with Christ and their witness to the world. This is why Paul tells us, do not be deceived. That's one thing about the devil. He is deceptionally deceitful. He's cunning and he's crafty. Listen, the enemy of our soul, when we lend ourselves to his devices and his tricks and his schemes, we too can be used by the enemy. Listen, the very words that you hear in your mind, if you're not careful, will be articulated out of your mouth, because out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. And if you're not speaking life to your children, if you're not speaking life to your family, you better be careful that your family is going to follow the path that were of the words that you have spoken. And guess what? You're going to give an account for every word that you have spoken, everything that you have texted, every phone call that you have made. Nothing is going to go unchecked by God. You're going to give an account. Be careful that you don't even deceive those that you say you love. Are you following me, church? I want you to hear me today. We're gonna preach this. Listen, we may be small today in a crowd. I'm not intimidated by it. I'm going to preach this like this house is packed with people. Amen? Because the truth is the truth. And it is urgent that we preach the truth. Paul spends an entire, listen to what I'm saying today. Paul spends an entire chapter trying to unravel their minds from the web caused by this bad company. It takes one silly little phrase by the enemy to get many of us tangled up and twisted. It takes one little idea, one little rabbit trail, one little Bible verse, and we run away and create a doctrine over it. We come with ideas and we find safe places with one little passage of scripture. Listen, can I tell you something today? We are to consider the whole counsel of God. we are to consider everything that God is saying. And that's why I say, if, when we read God's word, we need to pray over what we read. And even before you start reading, you need to ask God to give you understanding. Can I get an amen? See, I knew it was going to get quiet right around now, but it's all good. We're going to keep preaching. Amen. In fact, this was the second time that Paul warned the church at Corinth not to be deceived. In 1 Corinthians 6 and 9, he cautioned them not to take up a lifestyle of corrupt people. Don't take up a lifestyle of corrupt people. So how in the world can a church be corrupt unless they take up the lifestyle, unless the corrupt people have spoken into their life? They would not know how to follow the corrupt people. So it's all about who you associate with. I'm not saying that you, when you go into an environment, when you go into a place where you know they're not born again people, listen, you need to be the greater influence. Don't let them influence you. You have a standard and a way of living and a way of doing your life. Don't ever let anyone take down on that. You have the greater influence. Greater is the God that is in you than the devil is in the world. And don't let anybody take down on you. If they cannot prove it with scripture, you keep trucking, okay? You keep going with what the Bible has said. I don't care if people come up with great ideas and great thoughts. If the Bible doesn't say it, I'm not going to believe it. I'm not going to follow it. Follow the word of God. Follow the word of God with everything that is in you, because that is the safest path to go. If not checked at the very beginning, they could adopt such perverted ideas. And we see these ideas that have permeated the church. We see some of the things that are flashing across the news and some of the things that the churches are giving into nowadays. Guys, listen, that's not Bible. How did we fall so far? How did we start with such great leaders that sought the face of God and cried out for revival and saw many and many and many souls come to the Lord? How did we fall so far? Listen, us people within this church, the Assemblies of God church here today, listen, we better be careful that we too don't fall that far. Keep preaching the truth. Keep living the truth. The point Paul makes here is relevant to all people in all ages. When we associate with or take delight in the company of people with worldly morals, we run the risk of copying their behaviors, their language, and their habits. Listen, I've been in church a little while now, and I see things that goes on behind the pulpits that did not come from God. I see environments in churches that are not godly at all. I see habits inside of our lives, our personal lives as a pastor. I'm like, okay, God, is that you? Really doesn't look like you. It looks more like self more than it looks like you. The Bible says to deny yourself and take up your cross. That's a hard thing. That's going to cause some conflict, guys. Not comfortability. It doesn't make you comfortable. It causes conflict. You mean to tell me I got to deny myself? Listen, that's a hard thing. Have you ever gone on a fast? In the natural, that's extremely hard. And it's as hard spiritually. Because it's the moment that the enemy wages war against your soul. The moment that Jesus separated himself and went into solitude was the moment that the enemy decided to come whisper in his ear. Are you following me, church? Can I get an amen? Are you awake today? Are you listening today? This is going to be a challenge today. We're going to go somewhere with this. Before long, if we keep following the way of others, before long, we no longer follow Christ. I promise you, you can keep giving in to compromise all day long, but eventually your love for Christ is going to wane. And Christ is not halfway. He's not looking for someone to spend the night with him. He's looking for a long-term relationship. We can't be in and out with our relationship with God. And the very thing that ultimately influences us the most is coming from either our self, our sinful nature, or an outside interference around us. And if both of those things can hinder us from walking with Christ and cause us to forfeit our very walk with God. But of the world, with this denial of absolute authority, it rejects the word of God. And when we give ourselves in to the ideas of the world, those things start to come into our mind and into our heart. It's the same kind of concept in the way of, have you seen the memes on Facebook of two kids from different ethnic backgrounds holding hands? They're enjoying each other's company. They're loving on each other. They're kissing each other on the face because they're so innocent. They're not jaded by the world. And then you have one parent telling the kid, don't hang out with that kind of person. And then you have the opposite saying the same thing. And when those kids grow up, because that's being instilled in them, when they grow up, they don't like that kind of person because of what was said to them back here. It's subtle little things that cause these things to happen. And the same way within our text today, this is what the Apostle Paul is dealing with. Jesus himself said, it's a little leaven that leavens the whole lump, okay? It's the little foxes that spoils the vine. Jesus wasn't rebuking, even in that text, he wasn't rebuked. When he says, woe, you scribes and Pharisees, when he gave them all those woes, it wasn't that he was rebuking them because of their zeal. He was rebuking them because of their adding to the scripture. Are you following me? And that's what the devil is going to do. I'm preaching better than you saying amen. I want to warn the church today. We got to be careful that we don't allow anything to be added or anything to be taken away from it. There are absolutes in God's word, and we abide by the absolutes of God's word. And the things that we don't understand, they're going to remain a mystery until God decides to unfold those mysteries. Do you hear what I'm saying today? Listen, we know what the word of God has to say about our life, and God is consistently revealing himself to humanity. Follow what God is saying. If you are under sound teaching, stay under sound teaching. If you keep dabbling out there in the world of nowhere, be careful that you don't find yourself out there in the world of nowhere. Are you following me? Listen, you got to be careful, guys, because there's some crazy things that are going on in our world around us now. For this reason, Paul quotes a proverb by the Greek poet Menander: bad company corrupts good character. No doubt this proverb was well known among the Greeks of his day. The scary part is, how much more deceived would they have been if Paul had not intervened? One of the problems with bad company, according to Romans 12 and 1 through 2, it will cause you to conform and not be transformed. It will cause you to conform. Listen, you go over someone's house, you don't like, they may be doing things that you don't normally do. You keep hanging out with them, you're not being a witness, you're just hanging out with them. And before long, if you're not being a witness, you begin to partake in things that you should not partake in. Listen, I know what I'm talking about today. Listen, if you have a stand in God's word, stand firm on what God has said. Don't back down for fear of favor. Stand on it, even if it means that you have to sever relationships. This is a treasure that you have, and you have to protect it. You have to preserve it. That's what the Apostle Paul and the other apostles and the disciples would do. They would give their lives to preserve the word of God in the hearts of everybody that they entrusted it with. Romans 12, 1 through 2 in the Message Bible, the middle verse, it says, do not become so well adjusted to your culture that you fit into it without even thinking. So you mean to tell me, Pastor, what are you saying? Is that if you're not careful, if you're around the wrong kind of company, if you keep entertaining the wrong kind of company, the people who tell you what you want to hear instead of what you need to hear, eventually what happens is what they're saying, their ideas, their gossiping nature, their negative attitude begins to be a part of your life, and you don't even know it. And then when someone approaches you with it, you're offended. You're like, what are you talking about? It's only then that you go into prayer and say, God, what is going on in my life? And he starts to reveal what is going on. Oh, I didn't even know this was taking place in my life. Without even knowing. Paul in 1 Corinthians 15 and 58 at the end gives us meaningful ways to overcome the way of others. Listen to what he says in verse 58. Therefore, my dear brothers, stand firm. Let nothing move you. Always give yourselves fully to the work of the Lord, because you know that your labor is not in vain. Stand firm. In Ephesians 6 and 12, we see that Paul begins to talk about having our feet shod with the gospel of peace. When we deal with stand firm, that's exactly what that means. It means to stand firm, because in the heat of battle, the soldiers will have the spikes on the bottom of their feet, on the bottom of the boots that they wore. They were like long cleats or nail-like spikes that would allow them to anchor themselves to the ground, causing them to be more agile with more stability than the enemy. And the spikes will help them fight the good fight. This is the gruesome side of it. Those spikes, when the enemy would be down on the ground, they could crush the enemy with those spikes. Are you following me? It's a gruesome scene, but when you stand firm, you're able to crush the enemy under your feet. Stand firm on what? The gospel of what? Of peace. That's what's going to cause you to stand firm. Stand firm in God's word. Stand firm in what you know. Stand firm in what you have been taught. Stand firm with what the Spirit is saying to you in the privacy of your home. Stand firm, church. We are in some very evil days, and we need to stand firm. Paul said, let nothing move you. And always give fully yourselves fully to the work of the Lord. What is the work of the Lord? It's winning people to him. Amen. They were arguing against the resurrection. Paul says, stand firm on what you already have been taught, what you know is the truth. Don't let anybody move you from that. Keep telling people that the resurrection is going to happen, because if the resurrection had not have happened, listen, there is no hope for us. And if there's not a future resurrection, there is no hope for us. And there is a resurrection. The hope that we have today is that one day we will be resurrected into a newness of life, and that we will be with Christ forever and ever. Listen, he is coming back. The same spirit that was then is the same spirit that was now, and the same spirit that was then is trying to get us to rest in complacency. It's okay. Just be yourself. Just hang out with yourself. It's okay to do that with that friend. It's okay to entertain that. It's okay to dabble a little bit over here. It's okay to dabble a little bit over there. It's okay to gossip a little bit over here. It's okay to be angry a little bit over there. I need an amen. This is the truth, church. He says, let nothing move you. The way of others is often brought on by a desire to please, right? It's often brought on by a desire to please. If you had teenagers, and I'm not knocking on the teenagers, but we all know we've been there, done that. We've been teenagers before, and it's been our desire whenever I made some of my stupid decisions. I remember the first time I tried to open up a can of Budweiser. It was so stinking nasty. And I had friends on this side, on that side, everybody all around me telling me, man, just drink it. Just drink it. Just drink it. And I drank probably about that much out of the can. I was like, I'm so full. It's just, the bubbles in it, it just tastes so nasty. I didn't want to drink it, but I promise you, time and time again, peer pressure kept weighing on me. And before long, I started partaking in it. And before long, some years had passed. And before long, I became a walking around alcoholic and drinking a half a case of beer every other day. And before long, I found myself getting 3 and 4 DUIs. Are you following me today? And it all started because of the influence of somebody else. The way of others is following a system or group that will tell you a version of truth that feels good to your sinful palate. The devil is not going to tell you something that is going to make you be like, ooh, that hurt. Whoever said that sin didn't feel good, that is not the truth. Who said that? It's convicting to the believer, but it feels good because if it didn't feel good, you wouldn't do it. The Bible says in 2 Timothy 4:3-5, it says, for the time will come when people will not endure sound doctrine. He goes on to say, but they will gather to themselves teachers in accordance with their own desires, having itching ears, and they will turn their ears away from the truth and turn to myths. But be self-controlled. Isn't that funny how he said in the midst of all of that? Because those kind of things are alluring. Those kind of things are catchy. Listen, we're in a day and time now where people are like, dude, that pastor, man, he's hellfire and brimstone. He preaches a hard message. I know a church down the street that's not so like that. Not so much like that. Let's go hang out over there. Or that church believes like this. I don't quite believe like that. I like this flavor of bubble gum. Oh, I don't like that flavor. I don't like this flavor of church. Let me go over here, this and that. If we're not careful, we're going to find ourselves, instead of just sitting and listening to the truth of God's word. When you hear somebody preach the truth of God's word, it's not left up to you to try to change the word of God, but it's left up to you to listen to what the word of God is saying and apply it to your life. Are you following me? It's the word of God. It's your job. Listen, this message is not for somebody that's not here. This message is for us. We take the word of God and we apply it to our lives. Amen? He says, but be self-controlled, because it's easy not to be self-controlled. It's easy. It's so easy to say, man, I don't like that. I need to change what's happening in my life. And we're all find ourselves all over the place. He says, be self-controlled in all things. Endure afflictions. Do the work of an evangelist. And prove your ministry. Did Paul tell Timothy to give up? Find another profession. Find another church to pastor. Because those people are mean there. They're fighting against you. Listen, the last thing I am is intimidated by many things nowadays. Because I know who I am in God. I'm going to stand on what I know. I'm a simple country boy from the rural area of Guntown, Mississippi. Population 1,700. I've learned to be simple. God told me that. He said, keep it simple. Tell the truth. Keep it simple. Paul wanted Timothy to stay focused on the word of God, because man, by his nature, natural instinct, does not want God's revelation. Amen? So Paul was saying, just keep telling the truth. When opposition comes, stand firm, plant your feet, keep telling the truth, don't back down. Eventually, there's going to be a breakthrough, or whatever's in your path is going to move out of the way. Keep telling the truth. Listen, when you tell the truth, you might not have many people following you. Because by instinct, by natural instinct, humanity does not desire the revelation of God. There's something about the revelation of God that is enticing. And there's something about the revelation of God that calls us to resist. And in the midst of that, the Holy Spirit is dealing with each and every one of us according to how he desires. In every single one of us, when we hear the word of God, we have to make a choice to walk therein. You have to make a decision to say, God, okay, I don't understand this, and this hurts, and this is kicking against everything that I believe, but I'm going to follow you anyway. Listen, Timothy had to make a decision because the world around him was chaotic, the honeymoon was over, and the church was coming against Timothy. But Paul told Timothy, he said, I want you to stay focused on the word of God. I want you to have self-control in the middle of this, Timothy. Don't you give up. Don't you quit. He said in one passage of scripture, he said, Timothy, fan into flame the gift of God that is on the inside of you. Timothy felt lonely. Timothy felt oppressed. Timothy felt like the world was against him because Timothy didn't follow the way of others. Timothy was following the way of God. And if you follow the way of God, the way of others is always going to come against you and try to get you to compromise and try to get you to give out and try to get you to give in and become one of them. Misery loves company. A life apart from God is miserable. Adam Clark, author of Clark's commentary, wrote on itching ears. Itching ears refers to endless curiosity, an unquenchable desire of variety. And they get their ears tickled with the language and a scent of the person, abandoning the good and faithful preacher for the fine preacher. This also shows that if we do not want to hear God's word, because God's word is always trying to do something wonderful inside of you. If you don't want to hear God's word, that means that there's an indwelling struggle, a stronghold, or you are just right out away from God. Are you following me? I believe that there are people who struggle. Don't get me wrong. We all struggle at times. But after you have struggled for a while, shouldn't a believer give in? Shouldn't change take place in your life? A refusal to hear and accept the truth found in God's word is a rebellion against God himself. God's word is what brings stability to our lives. And it helps us to resist the desire to follow the way of others. We are living in an age where we can get access to many different teachings, books, videos, conferences, churches all around with a message for your taking. But do you know what that author, speaker, teacher, pastor, church believes about the truth of God's word? Do you really know what their heart is? Do you really know why they're teaching what they're teaching? Do you really know if they're sold out to what they're teaching? Are you following me today? 1 Thessalonians 5:12 tells us, but we beg you, brothers, to know those who labor among you and are over you in the Lord and admonish you. Get to know those. You know me. I know you because we do life together. It'd be so easy nowadays for the enemy to distract what God is trying to do in your heart and even in this church. Amen? Once people leave the word of God, they often then embrace weird fantasies. When a man rejects God's truth, it isn't that he believes in nothing. He will believe, it means that he will believe anything. Amen? Through the history of the church, humanity has always refused to listen to and support the teachings that challenges or contradicts their selfish and ungodly behaviors. However, we, as we near the end this mindset will grow more and more worse. In other words, it's not going to get any better. People are going to grow even more wickeder as time goes on. They're not going to desire the things of God, according to Timothy, but they're going to push back against the things of God. And listen, push back doesn't mean an outward negative thing. Push back means that they create teachings that will be itching to your ears and tasteful to your palate and cause you to be gathered amongst them. And if you're not careful, you will follow their path that leads to destruction. In that day, and we are in that day, where many claim to be followers of Jesus, they will continue to gather at their churches and in the streets, only to profess the Lord with their lips and profane him with their actions. Guys, you cannot tell me that I'm not preaching about today. When you can stand on national television, dressed like a lady, but it's a man, and say that you're worshiping the same God that I worship, that is profane. They should have the idea of the church's demonstration of the Spirit and power and its call to purity, moral purity and separation from all ungodly practices. They shun at that. They hiss at that idea because it causes them to deal with the issues that is on the inside of them. 2 Timothy 4 and 5, Paul tells Timothy, but be self-controlled in all things, endure afflictions, do the work of an evangelist, and prove your ministry. Not following others will always come with a price. There will always be a price. Though others turned aside to fables, Timothy was to be even more dedicated to doing what God wanted him to do. The more that he was despised, the more zealous for the things of God he should have become. The more you are despised, the more you're ridiculed, the more you're pushed back in a corner, the more you should get in God's word. Listen, when someone comes against what God's word has to say, it shouldn't cause you to compromise, but it should cause you to dig deeper. It should cause you to burn the midnight oil when everybody else is asleep. It should cause you to be awake. It should cause you to be on your face, searching God's word and diligently seeking out what God is saying. We tell our children, if you are standing for truth, stand if you have to stand alone. Sometimes standing alone will come with affliction. Oftentimes what you do for God will come with affliction. But remember who you are, who you're working for. And remember where your reward is going to come from. Amen? Today we need to understand something about serving God. According to the scriptures, we're all called to be ministers of righteousness. This is a lifestyle that extends a lifetime. Did you grab that? This is a lifestyle that extends past and goes into a lifetime. And doing ministry, Jesus said in John 16 and 33, I have told you these things so that in me you may have peace. In this world you will have troubles, but take heart, I have overcome the world. We have to keep telling the truth no matter who is following us. Amen? For some, this is a disturbing thought, because they thought that ministry would be one beautiful spiritual experience after another. It's not true. There are plenty of wonderful blessings in serving God, but there are also afflictions in this life to be endured. We're going to get ready to close this morning, and I want to leave you with this idea again. The way of self and the way of others will always lead you away from God. In Matthew 7, 13 through 14, Jesus said, enter through the narrow gate, for wide is the gate and broad is the road that leads to destruction, and many enter through it. But small is the gate, and narrow the road that leads to life, and only a few find it. Christ taught that we are not to expect many people to want to travel this path or go this way in life. Salvation is a gift, but it also takes active faith. Amen? Active faith in Christ alone. Very few would take this way, but the options are wide open on the broad road. Many options, many ideals and beliefs. So many will flock that way in hopes of finding what they're looking for in life. The unfortunate thing, many of them will find destruction. You'll stand today. It's not like that Christ didn't make salvation available for all humanity. But the pull from the world is often more stronger, seemingly, than the tug from the Spirit. God is not going to force any of us. He can. He's God. He's sovereign. He can do whatever he wants to do. I felt all of my life, all of my born again life, since I've been born again, felt a tug and an urgency for God. But he's never forced my hand. He can. In fact, he could take my life if he desires to. But God, over and over again, gives us a chance and an opportunity. Sometimes the others are not on the outside, but the voices of others are on the inside, and they're still influencing us for the negative or for the positive. I want to leave you with a few questions. Which way will you take? It is obvious that the way to choose is the way of the Lord, but the reality is that many of us will not go that way. See, let's just leave the area of salvation. I look around the room, everybody in here, as far as I know of, at some point has given their life to God in some way. But what I'm saying is, this morning, I want to ask the question again, which way will you take? See, because this is not a question necessarily about salvation right now. This is a question is about some of your decisions that you're making in life are not wholesome decisions, nor are they conducive to the Word of God. Some of your ideas and the way that you live life is very selfish and self-centered, and you've been doing it for a while now, and you feel like you're getting away with it. You feel like God, and some of us even feel like God is even okay with it. And I feel like God is saying today it's time to move past that. You may have gotten these ideas from others years ago, but the influence of others is still leading your life today. Another question. Which way are you currently taking and why? Huh? Why are you going that way? Why are you still partaking in those things that we know God has blatantly told us to give up? Those ideas? As I'm pleading with you today, this is more than about you. We got family. We have friends. We have people that we're influencing. Let's not be selfish. Let's give ourselves wholly to God. Another question. Whether if that is the way of God or the way of others. Why is it prompting you? Why are you allowing it to prompt you to go either way? The way of others, again, will lead you to destruction. It may not be outright destruction. Listen, to me, destruction is anything that hinders me in my walk with God. Anything that hinders me from growing in grace. Are you hearing me today? If you're here today and you're struggling with the idea of the way of self and the way of others, you have been influenced in the wrong way concerning either of those areas. It could be an active relationship, an active situation, or something that happened years ago. You need to deal with it now. If that's you today, will you find a place at the altar?
Living Hope Assembly of God.